Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I'm your host, Katie, and we are going to jump right into it today. This is episode 140, and as I'm recording this episode, it is actually Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day. So happy Dietitian Day to all my fellow dietitians. And I figured, what better way to do my due diligence as a nutrition expert in the healthcare field than to talk about the topic of coronavirus? So as I'm recording this episode, it is March 11th, 2020, and they have just declared the coronavirus as a global epidemic. So I'm not going to get into all the stats. I'm going to link resources to what it is and who it affects and all that. But if you are living under a rock, you may not know about it, but even our listeners in Czechoslovakia, in, you know, Italy, wherever you are, you know what this is. So what my job today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide some clarity on some of the facts versus myths around nutrition and illness. I'm going to answer the question, because I get this all the time, is about, can you boost your immunity with nutrition? If so, if we can, how do we do it? When is the best time? How does that work? And just going to give you some overall tips outside of what you've heard of, wash your hands. I mean, we've heard that 1,000 times by now, but really help you to apply this in terms of nutrition and what this means from a non-diet lens. If you're new to the podcast, again, I am a non-diet dietitian. So what that means is I don't write meal plans. I don't tell you exactly what to eat, but my job is to help you form a happier, healthier relationship with food. So if you've heard of intuitive eating, you know, if you're unfamiliar with that term, go back to previous episodes where we talk about intuitive eating, and that'll give you a little bit more insight to my approach with nutrition. Now, with that being said, with it being Dietitian Day, you know, every dietitian is a nutritionist, but not every nutritionist is a dietitian. So what that means is, you know, I went to school for 4 years, had to go through all these programs, take a nationally recognized test in order to become a dietitian, whereas, you know, someone on the street can technically just talk about nutrition and declare themselves a nutritionist. I say all that to remind you that my job as well as a dietitian is to provide you evidence-based nutrition. So I will never just share my opinions. I will always share both sides of the spectrum. I will give my opinions, but just know that where I come from is from a research-based background, evidence-based, and not just my personal bias. I have to first share my personal coronavirus story is that Monday, I go into work and I get a call that I was potentially exposed this weekend. And it was my, like, just listen to how funny this chain of events is. So it was my bridal shower. We're getting married next month. And it was my fiance's dad's boss who ended up getting sick. And so because of this chain of events, because I work in a healthcare field, you know, I was like, oh, I should probably tell my boss about this. And they immediately, you would have thought, like, I feel 100% fine. You would have thought I had leprosy. Like, they immediately said, you need to go home for several days. And I'm like, I don't even think I have work to do for several days. Like, what do you mean? And it was the weirdest day because Joey and I were both technically then quarantined, you know, to be home. None of our works had a protocol on what to do. They just kind of sent us home and said, work from home, don't get us sick, goodbye. Now, later we ended up finding out because of the low risk of exposure, we were both able to go back to work, no problem. But it just made me laugh because it was just so strange that we were both working from home. And literally, he was in this office where I'm recording this podcast. I was out in the living room. We're both like sitting at our computers. It was just the weirdest thing. But I laugh and it's funny and I was making jokes about it. But then I had to take a step back and really remind myself and recognize that, number one, I am privileged to have a job, let alone, you know, health insurance. I have access to food and to healthcare and, you know, technology to be able to work from home, to still get a paycheck and work from home. And there's so many people who this is affecting who, you know, are worried that schools are closing and how are they going to be able to still go to school and, or sorry, how are they going to be able to still go to work and pay the bills and things like that. And so, you know, regardless of where you're at and where you're listening to this, it may not be affecting your community, but just know that it still has an impact. And so it's important that when things like this come up, we can't just hide under a rock and turn the other cheek. Like, you need to be aware. And I too am so guilty of not necessarily staying informed on the news and the media because I try to filter the things that I see and listen to and read because I want to protect my own space, my own, you know, mental energy. But this is a topic that is affecting all of us. And so, you know, being aware and recognizing the privilege that we come from can really help kind of change your perspective on things. So if you are feeling stressed, I just want to address this, is if you are feeling stressed about this whole topic and you're feeling scared and anxious and all these different things, I encourage you to limit the time that you spend on social media, the time you spend watching TV, and really take some extra time for just self-care because, you know, stress actually itself, you know, our stress levels aren't harmful to our health. And when we have increased stress, that can also, you know, decrease our immunity. So we definitely don't want that. But if you have an iPhone, there's a way to adjust and set limits on social media. So maybe you limit yourself to 30 minutes a day or whatever it is that you need to protect your space. Definitely encourage you to do that. Also, please be careful about where you get your information. This goes for everything, but there have been some pretty wild claims out there and Facebook, all the things. I'm guilty of spending so much time on social media that we tend to see the same things like going viral. And so we automatically just think, oh, that must be true because I've seen it a million times. I've seen it all over these platforms, but that may not always be the case. So for this topic, particularly in, you know, for many just health issues going on, you can always check out the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, and the WHO. So it's the World Health Organization, are all reputable sources. And I'll be sure to link to those in the show notes so that you have access to those for any updates. Let's start by addressing some of the myths that have been out in the media. So the first one that is crazy, but I've seen it and I know many people are going out to the store and to Costco and buying all these different things, but garlic. I read somewhere that garlic will protect you because garlic has antimicrobial properties. So it must protect you from coronavirus. And that is not the case. The World Health Organization actually had to come out with a statement that there is no evidence that eating garlic will prevent coronavirus. You know, we're not vampires. It doesn't work like that. So there is no magic pill, there's no magic drink, there's no magic supplement that's going to protect you. So if you see anything out there, that is diet culture taking your fear, taking your emotions, and using that to their marketing advantage. So if you see a product out there that's telling you you need to buy this because of what's going on in the world, just take that as a red flag, run the other way, delete, unfollow, report as spam because there's no evidence. The second myth that I have seen or I have, you know, heard about is that, can I get this from foods? Is it transmitted through food packaging? And again, the World Health Organization came out with a statement saying that you cannot get coronavirus from food or food packaging, even in the areas where there are outbreaks. You know, even meat is still okay and safe to eat in those areas. Now, of course, just take normal precautions. You know, was it washed properly? Was it handled properly? Are you using, you know, different cutting boards with me? And these are all things that, you know, we could also practice in our own homes. But if you're really concerned, don't go to a sketchy restaurant. But I mean, you should never go to a sketchy restaurant for these exact same reasons. It's really no different now than it was, you know, a year ago. It's the same precautions just as far as sanitation goes. So again, currently, this is another question about, well, if there's products coming from China in the food, where the outbreak originated, is that going to, you know, affect me? Should I be scared of that? And currently, there is no evidence to support the transmission of coronavirus associated with imported goods. And there are no reported cases of this in the U.S. associated with imported goods. So you really don't have to be fearful about products. It's more of the exposure to individuals themselves who are affected. So the Center for Disease Control actually states that the best way to prevent illness is to avoid exposure. So maybe we're talking about being in restaurants. Maybe you start to limit the time you spend in small groups. I know different concerts have been canceled, different big, you know, conferences and things like that. And the main reason for that is because it's large groups. So if there's one person, and because it's so easily transmitted, it could easily affect a lot of people. So that's, you know, understanding the why behind some of these recommendations can help you to stop being so fearful, you know. But if that is something that you're concerned about, then limit how often you're going out to eat or in those big social settings. Use this as an opportunity to order in or recreate kind of your favorite takeout meals and healthify them by, you know, adding extra veggies or putting your own twist on it to try to recreate it at home. I love also that, you know, these organizations are addressing it from a global issue. Earlier, I talked about, you know, privilege and access to food and how fortunate I am. But, you know, there's many kids, many families out there who this does affect as far as nutrition goes. And, you know, kids being out of school, there was concern. There's many schools in the U.S. that get free lunches. The kids and the families don't have to pay. It is provided by the government that these kids are fed, because for many kids out there, lunch may be their only guaranteed meal of the day. So I loved hearing that the FDA is still making sure that even though schools are canceled, families have the opportunity to basically do like a drive-through and pick up the school lunches. That way it's, again, limiting exposure. So just know that from a global standpoint, from a national standpoint, there are issues being addressed as far as food scarcity goes. SNAP benefits. I mean, these are just things that we need to be aware of and understand that, gosh, the fact that you're listening to this through technology, like, we have so much to be grateful for and recognize the bigger issue. You know, nutrition and stigma is a real thing. And so understanding how can we make impact from a social justice standpoint is so important too. Now, let's talk about, you know, the nitty-gritty of nutrition itself. Now, you know that I always take a food-first approach, and I believe that there is no need to supplement unless your diet is currently lacking in an area or specific nutrients. So, you know, when I'm talking about all these things, I am talking to the general healthy individual. If you're listening to this and you have some sort of, you know, you live with some sort of chronic disease, you've got some GI issues, you have, you know, a certain rare genetic disorder, like, we're all so individual. And so everything that you hear in media, through podcasts, you read on social media, you read on a website, always be sure to run that by your healthcare team, by your physician, by your dietitian, somebody who actually knows you and your case before you just start taking something over the counter or before you start making any major changes, you know, to your own health regimen or health routine. So no need to supplement, but we should focus on variety. Now, whether it's protein or fruits and veggies, when we eat the same types of foods, we're consuming the same nutrients. So if I have a bowl of oatmeal with berries on it for breakfast every single day, I'm only getting the nutrients from the berries and the oatmeal versus if I had berries and oatmeal one day and then I had scrambled eggs and an omelet the next day. You know, there's different properties in both of those foods that if I'm picking one, I'm missing out on the other. And so really the more variety of foods that we can eat, the more variety of nutrients, vitamins, minerals, you know, micronutrients that we're getting access to and that we're getting into our bodies that just cannot be replicated in a pill. So thinking about how can I just switch up my normal routine? How can I add in more colors? That's a really easy way. I know it's a general tip, but sometimes it's so easy for us, especially if you're my type A listener, it's so easy for us to get in a rut and get in a routine with eating that we don't always change it up. So this is your reminder to switch things up, add more color, try a different fruit or vegetable so that you're getting more variety of those nutrients. What about vitamin C? I get so many questions about vitamin C, and you know, you see people on the plane, they're adding their emergency or they're taking their extra vitamin C. As we know, vitamin C is found in citrus foods, strawberries, but this is actually a vitamin that our bodies cannot make. And I took this quote directly from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, is though it may not keep you from catching a cold, there is some evidence that high doses of vitamin C may decrease the length of cold symptoms by as much as 1 to 1.5 days for some people. However, other studies did not result in the same findings, and the risk of side effects is greater with high doses of vitamin C supplements, so check with your doctor or dietitian before taking. End quote. So what that means is that basically once you're sick, you're sick. Once you're showing symptoms of a cold, and you know, flu is just as big of an issue as coronavirus, so keep that in mind. We're talking about boosting immunity overall. If you have symptoms and you start loading up on vitamin C, it's not going to make them go away. But if you're preventative and you're incorporating, you know, vitamin C rich foods into your overall healthy eating pattern, that can decrease the length that you have a cold if you do end up catching it. So how much is too much vitamin C? The RDA, or the recommended average daily level of intake, that is, you know, enough to meet the nutrient requirements of pretty much all, like 98% of healthy individuals. That's what the RDA is. And this is usually kind of the recommendation that research has shown is kind of the adequate amount that somebody needs. So for women, because most of the people who listen to this podcast, you are a woman, 20 years of age and older, you need about 75 milligrams of vitamin C. Now, again, I don't want you to get bogged down with the numbers. This is not meant to create more stress. This is to help you de-stress. But when we're talking about vitamin C, just think, can I get 5 servings of fruits and vegetables? Like, before you start thinking about, okay, I've got a supplement, I've got to take this, this, and that, like, go back to the basics. Am I getting 5 servings of fruit and vegetables? That's what's recommended for adults. And I can tell you right now, I don't get 5 servings of fruit and vegetables every day. That's such a simple goal that we can aim for. That's going to, again, give us the access to a lot more variety of nutrients, a lot more variety of foods, because the toxic levels, right? I talked about before that taking too much vitamin C can have some side effects. Really, it's going to be like nausea, vomiting, some GI distress. I mean, nothing that's really that bad, but you would need about, you know, really high intakes, like 2000 milligrams. So 75 milligrams would be about 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. Sorry, let me say that again. You guys, I get excited about nutrition and I just start talking really fast. So women 20 years and older, you need about 75 milligrams of vitamin C. Now, to put this into perspective, 5 servings of fruit and vegetable give about 200 milligrams. So you're good. Like, you eat 1 orange and you've pretty much hit your requirements for the day. And because vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin, meaning that our body doesn't necessarily hold on to it for very long, it's got very low toxicity. So you would have to take like 2,000 milligrams. So way more than the amount that you're likely going to get unless you're supplementing to get some of those side effects. And vitamin C can be destroyed by heat. That's why, you know, the best sources are going to be fruits and vegetables. Luckily, you can just eat those raw and you shouldn't have a problem. So don't worry about that. What about zinc? Zinc is another nutrient that you've heard about that is found in lean meats, poultry, whole grains, nuts, seeds, often talked about in combination with vitamin C because it's also known for aiding in the immune system. So women, again, we need about 8 milligrams. It's harmful when we get closer to about 40 milligrams, but most Americans get plenty of zinc unless you fall into those categories that I talked about before. So you're vegetarian, you've got some sort of GI issue. But if you're an overall healthy and, you know, American, most of us get adequate amounts. Now, the NIH, the National Institute of Health, did, you know, say that some studies suggest that zinc lozenges or syrup, not dietary supplements, like not the pill form of zinc, but the lozenges, do help speed up recovery from the common cold and reduce symptoms. Here's the caveat, right? There's always a catch. If taken within 24 hours of coming down with a cold. So vitamin C, it's not going to make things go away. But if you start taking that vitamin C and the zinc when people around you are getting sick and you do catch it, then it may not last as long for you. But it does say, however, you know, more studies are needed to determine the best dose in the form of zinc, as well as how long it should be taken before zinc can be recommended as a treatment for the common cold. So again, you know, really the takeaway from today is that there's no magic pill. And, you know, while nutrition is powerful, recognize that it's just one very small piece of the puzzle. as I mentioned before, stressing about all the things, stressing about, you know, how can I eat a perfect diet? How can I, like, that's going to suppress your appetite. That's not going to help the situation. And so just take inventory. How are you doing on a day to day? And this is just something that you can do at any time, regardless of what's going on in the world. You know, are you eating regular meals and snacks? Are you getting a variety of foods that not just, you know, what you need, but what your body wants, your body, but also your brain and your heart? You know, are you sleeping enough? Are you moving your body? Unfortunately, there is no recommendation that we need to take more showers, but we do need to wash our hands. So ladies, you can keep up with your dry shampoo. No problem there, but wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Say a prayer, sing a song, whatever you got to do. And I know you're my fitness people. You're trying to keep up with your fitness. So if you're sick, please don't go to a group fitness class. You know, keep your germs at home. Wipe off your gym equipment. Bring your own mat. I mean, these are all things, like, let's relax, because these are all things that we should be doing most of the time anyway. So let's just be a little more mindful, a little more intentional, take a little extra care of ourselves, be a little bit more of a homebody. But, like, life goes on. You need to live your life. You need to not get sucked into the fear of it and keep pushing, keep moving forward along your relationship with health and food and creating a happier, healthier you. Now, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Fit Friends Happy Hour. Click that review button, and you won't want to miss next week's episode. I interview trainer here in Indianapolis, Jessica Leck. She is a trainer who actually takes an intuitive approach. And so we had an amazing conversation and interviewed her about how she does this type of training, how she opened her own studio, you know, some challenges that she's gone through with her own family. So be sure to check that out next week. Otherwise, we'll see you on over in the Facebook page. Go to Facebook and search Fit Friends Tribe, request to join. And that's where we talk about each week's episode. We talk about the different apps, tools. We're always sharing different tips and advice. It's a great space for you to connect with other like-minded individuals who are also along this journey.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.